today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, driverless taxis got almost 600 tickets in San Francisco last year. And in the big story this week, Southwest Airlines is changing its longtime two-bags-free policy. Those stories next in the news.
When an airline offers a lifetime benefit, you would think that that would be easy to define. Well, United Airlines is changing one of their lifetime policies. Another reminder that those points and miles that you earn do not really belong to you. They belong to the hotel or airline. It's the topic of our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25.
Is Southwest dropping their two bags fly free policy going to change the way you book your airline tickets? Will you still fly Southwest or look elsewhere? Maybe the new reserve seat policy at Southwest will make the airline more attractive to you. At 11:35, we'll get your opinion and take your calls at 916-921-1530.
We talk with Chris Elliott this week about the controversial tariffs that the president is proposing and how they might impact international travels. He also weighs in on the Southwest changes, and a new book that he has. I think you're going to enjoy this. We'll talk about it at 11:50.
The only travel show where you don't have to pay for any excess baggage you're hauling around. Here to make you a smarter traveler, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Aruba, Jamaica.
Solo, Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman right over there. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for taking some time out of your day. Here we are in between a lot of snow and a lot of rain, and it's been the weather crazy here. Mark, you've been out of town for a while. I think we mentioned last week you were off to spring training.
In
how did
Arizona.
It work? How the Giants looking, huh?
Yeah, the Giants look terrific. I mean, actually, the Athletics, as they are known by Major League Baseball, you know, we're not allowed to call them the Sacramento A's. Major League Baseball has determined they will be called the Athletics without any definition as to the city that they play in. I'm guessing that announcers and stuff will have to tell people where their team is, so Sacramento might slip into it once in a while. But anyway, we watched the A's also, and I thought they looked much better than they've looked in previous springs. And they actually looked like they knew what they were doing. And the Giants were hitting and running and stealing bases. And a couple times we looked at each other and said, who the hell are these guys? So there might be, I don't know, the Giants are up against the best team money can buy in their division, the Dodgers. And so it'll be, and the other teams are nothing, the Padres and Diamondbacks are not too shabby either. So I'm optimistic. If you're a baseball fan in Northern California, I'm optimistic. But, you know, they always say it's spring training, hope springs eternal. And that's exactly what happened. We went to Rustler's Roost for a great day. If you ever go down there, there's a steakhouse up on the hill, kind of fairly close to the Phoenix airport. It's called Rustler's Roost. Go early because the place fills up pretty early. But they have really, really wonderful steaks and a terrific view of the valley. It rained us out one day, which cleared out all of the crud from the air, and we got a great view. Rustler's Roost is a great place to go. Let's see, where else did we go? Oh, Honey Barbecue is a little kind of shack place near the airport. We had lunch when we left, and it was really, really, really good. So we had a good time. Stayed at the Marriott that we've stayed at for many years north of the airport there, and went all around the valley and enjoyed a whole bunch of spring printing games. Best ballpark in the area is the one at Talking Stick. That's the home to the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. That's by far the best ballpark. The old ballpark the Giants play in is Scottsdale, which was brand new 20 years ago, now is kind of the shabbiest. And my goodness, in Scottsdale, the highest concession prices you can imagine. $16.50 for a, quote, premium beer, which if you're thinking that's something really special, a premium beer is like, you know, a Corona or something like that. Anyhow, there's a real quick look at spring training, which is just about over. They're just about ready to ring the bell and start the season.
All right. Can't wait. I'm still wondering how things are going to be handled if the A's make the playoffs in the World Series, huh?
Yeah.
Playing out of, Sacramento.
We were talking about that. Wouldn't that be something if the team has played before an empty stadium all these years? So what happens if they come to Sacramento and the stands are full every night? What happens if they start to win some games? I mean, if they're even mediocre. The crowds, I mean, the players play better. They're entertainers. They play better when there are more people in the stands and it's more. I mean, I'm just saying it has the potential maybe. If they made the playoffs, what would happen in this city? I mean, you know, I mean, people would be bananas. This has been a baseball town for many years. All right, I'll shut up again.
All right. At the top of every Travel Guys show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. With today's edition of the Travel News, here's Mark. Mark, what you got for us today?
The travel industry, the National Transportation Safety Board, remember the plane that went down at Reagan Airport, ran into a helicopter? They have recommended that helicopters be permanently banned after that January 29th crash, of course, which killed people on board of both everybody on the airplane and everybody on the helicopter. Here's another Washington, D.C. story that's a little bit more upbeat. The pandas are back at the National Zoo, and people are lining up to see them. They got back on January the 24th. The zoo draws more people when the pandas are on display by about 20%. So if you're thinking about heading to Washington, D.C., and you don't want all the museums and everything, why, you can go out to the zoo and see the pandas.
Yeah, but boy, right now, Sacramento Zoo is flying high with a brand new baby giraffe, and he's been all over the news, and I don't know. I think they'll be letting people go see him very, very soon. So for Sacramento, it's the baby giraffe.
Tourism is on the rise in the United States. At least this is what the statistics say. 95 million people expected to visit from other countries. 95 million this year. Are expected to visit in 2026 and 90 million in 2027. Of course, in 2028, the Olympics will be here in Los Angeles. In 2026, the World Cup is all over the place. So the thing is, though, we got to get these international visitors into the country. And that may be, we'll see what happens there. The previous administration, after piddling around for 3 years, finally got their act together and cut down those passport wait times and stuff like that. We'll see if that can hold up through the current folks in charge so that we can get all of these international people who want to come here and spend their money and get them into the country. Airline CEOs this week warned that domestic travel demand after, oh, we're almost 3 years after COVID now, is finally slowing. Delta, American, and Southwest cut their first quarter forecasts. Airlines have said economic weakness and uncertainty have driven down domestic travel demand. International demand so far remains pretty high. The Trump administration is planning a new travel ban. This basically impacts the same group of countries that they banned travel from in their previous time in the White House. This includes Sudan, Venezuela, Somalia, Syria, Yemen, Iran, Libya, Cuba, and North Korea. So these are all also, it looks like Pakistan and Afghanistan might be added to that list. Spirit Airlines, we mentioned this last week, has come out of bankruptcy and finished their restructuring. I find this really interesting because the numbers here really don't add up. That airline lost $1.2 billion last year. That makes it really easy to figure out. They lost $100 million a month. $100 million a month they lost.
How do you do that?
Okay. So the company says it's reduced its debt by $795 million, $800 million. It also received a $350 million equity investment. Now, I don't want to, if you're driving your car, I don't want to make the math problem here too difficult, but if they lost $100 million a month last year and they just got $350 million in financing, let's pretend for a minute that they've cut that loss in half and now they're only losing $50 million a month. Do the math, $350 million last 7 months. If they haven't cut their costs, their loss in half, it lasts a lot less time. If you're any kind of a math wizard of all, this what comes down to one thing. Don't buy a ticket on Spirit Airlines until we get 6 or 7 months down the road and they're still here. That would be my smarter traveler wisdom. I have nothing against Spirit Airlines. I'm just telling you, the numbers don't add up. Driverless taxis got 589 parking tickets in San Francisco last year. We saw a lot of these. The Waymo vehicles are very popular in Phoenix, the greater Phoenix area. We saw them at the ballparks. One almost backed into our motor coach one day. Yes, sir.
Do they have a pretend driver sitting there?
They do not.
And with that being said, if they've got all those tickets, who do they give the ticket to? The passenger?
Well, in this this particular article, which was in the Washington Post, describes an officer in San Francisco who mostly these tickets are for parking in the wrong area, parking places that they're not supposed to. So they're waiting for a rider or have dropped a rider off or something. So the officer says he goes up, he taps on the window, he realizes that, you know, there's nobody in there. So he said he just wrote the ticket and put it under the windshield wiper just like he would with any other car that didn't have a driver in it. So, yeah. So anyway, $65,000 in fines off of those tickets. So anyways, it's kind of interesting. We enjoyed watching them tool around in Phoenix. Like I said, in one case, one of the cars almost backed into us. But other than that, there were no – I still wouldn't get into one. But after I get used to them for a while, who knows? We both have – I'm sure you have friends who drive like crazy idiots. And when you get into the car, you think, oh, my God, am I going to survive this? So maybe driving in a driverless vehicle would be okay. All right, the big news of the week, Southwest Airlines has decided that the bags fly free policy, which they said was the one part of their culture they would never, ever, 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 ever undo. You know, it's like the lifetime benefit we're going to talk about from United in the next segment. Never, ever, ever, ever turned out to be last week. So Southwest Airlines says starting at the end of May the 28th, if you any ticket that this says that you haven't reserved, this bag charges will apply to flights booked on or after May 28th. So you got to be, according to this, you have to be on the books May 28th in order to get your bags free. So if you're thinking about traveling later in the year on Southwest, it will be critical for you to consider making that reservation by May the 28th if you check bags. We don't know how much it's going to cost yet. I would hope that Southwest might have a brain in their head about this. If other guys are charging $35 or $40 for a bag, charge $30. Then you can still say, we charge less than everybody else. Still becomes a selling point. It makes you different, and Southwest is giving up all of these different things. Soon you're going to pay for seat selection if you want it. You're going to be able to buy a basic economy fare, but it's not going to earn you much in the way of points in their system. But you got to know this. U.S. Airlines took in more than $5 billion in baggage fees last year. $5 billion. Southwest got very, 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 very little of that. So that's just one thing they got to change. I don't have the numbers of what they take in on seat sales from airlines, but they're not making money on the ticket anymore, folks. They're making $40 each way on the bag that you check, and they're making anywhere from $30 to $150 on the back of the cabin seat that you're paying more for than you used to each way. And that's where their revenue and their profits are coming from. So it's not surprising that Southwest has gotten sucked down this tunnel. We'll see how they handle it. One more quick thing here. Jack Gallagher and his band are coming back to the Sophia on April the 5th. Two shows, 3 and 7 p.m. I didn't put a link online. But anyway, Google Jack Gallagher at the Sophia. If you are over 50 and you like comedy, then this is a show you should go see. That's all I can say. Jack is an incredibly funny guy, old TV personality here in town, has moved to the East Coast now. Go see him at the Sophia on April the 5th of this year. And that's your travel news for today.
All right, and we are the Travel Guys. And if you have an opinion and would like to ask you, are you going to continue to fly Southwest with the baggage fees? You're going to look elsewhere? How do you feel about the move that they made? We'll be taking your calls after the bottom of the hour, around 11:35 at 916-921-1530, 916-921-1530, if you'd like to share your opinion. Well, my opinion is that the best place to get clam chowder is, my friends,
Rudy's Hideaway.
Yeah, and that's not all. Rudy's has great catering if you have a party coming up. They've got special menus they can put together for you. If you want to bring a group in and have a little dining party at Rudy's, they got space for you there. And, of course, for an intimate dining experience, Rudy's Hideaway is always a perfect place. The best lobster in town, along with the steaks and so much more. If you like shrimp, they've got, you know, deep-fried butter filleted shrimp the size of your, almost the size of your hand. And, of course, the ever-so-popular 6-ounce lobster tail special, known as the Travel Guy Special, always only $29.95. Rudy's Hideaway, easy to find, just off Highway 50 at Hazel. Anyway, we are live, and we will be taking live phone calls, by the way, to talk about your opinion in regards to the changes at Southwest with their baggage fares. I know that people have opinions, and if you have questions, we'll be doing that right after 11:35. The number again to call will be 916-921-1530. Okay, Mark, let's talk about those lifetime benefits.
Yeah. You have to be careful when it comes to these frequent flyer and frequent guest programs. We've talked before about how these are completely run by the entities that create them. So there's nothing to protect the consumer. They make up their own rules as they go along. They change the rules whenever they want to. They can tell you that something costs 20,000 miles or points, and you work and save and stuff, and then you get there and find out that now it costs 30,000 miles or points, or 40,000 miles or points, or it's not even available to you because you don't have the status in their program that you used to have, and now you can't even access those awards anymore. It really is something that the government needs to regulate on some level. There needs to be some basic things that protects consumers here, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. So you have to protect yourself. And in some cases, you can be smart. In others, things happen that you can't see coming. Here is an example. United Airlines, if you flew 1,000,000 miles with United, it guaranteed that you'd always hold a status. You fly 1,000,000 miles with United, you're a gold person forever. You fly 2,000,000, you're a platinum person forever. You fly 3,000,000, you're a 1K person forever. If you're not a flyer on United Airlines, these are basically the 50, 100, 75, 100,000 levels each year. So they figured if you flew that many miles and you were that loyal, that they would give you that for a lifetime. I personally am at like about 1.9 million miles, so at some point I'll make it to platinum. I'll never make it to the next level up. United, in honor of those folks who had been so loyal, always gave those flyers, you could gift your status to one other person, oftentimes your spouse or your partner, maybe a business partner, somebody who traveled with you a lot or traveled to the same places that you did. You could make them, you could give them that status. And as long as you maintained your status, they would maintain theirs. It was a huge, huge, huge benefit that the airlines gave. And the airlines said, this is for a lifetime. You've earned your status. You will be this forever, and you will have the right. And if you want to change it from year to year, you know, you went through a divorce or something like that, why, then you can change the beneficiary to this benefit. Now, you can say, well, dude, why are you so bitter over that? So they took away the chance to gift it to somebody else. This was really a major benefit. I mean, it really was a huge benefit to a lot of people. And United is now saying at the end of next year, they will end this benefit in the way that if you earn a 1K status, the person that you gift this to will only be gold. So what's going to happen is the person you gift it to will no longer really make any upgrades or anything like that. The value of this has gone down considerably. It isn't just this one thing with United. This is going to happen again other places. Hotels have lifetime status that you earn you certain benefits. They have been eroding those benefits. Marriott used to give free breakfast to their top people. Now they give you a $10 food and beverage credit most places, which everybody knows $10 doesn't buy you breakfast unless you're buying a bagel and a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and maybe not even then. Mm-hmm. So take with a grain of salt. Don't go chasing after these status and these higher places and say, oh, I got to spend some money so I can get to this level, so I can get this benefit. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get there or get close to it, and they're going to move the bar, or the bar is going to disappear entirely, or the rules are going to change. And so really you should accept these programs for what they are. If you can earn something, redeem it as quickly as you can before the bar gets moved. If you earn something else, do the same thing. What a wonderful thing to be able to get a little bit of a rebate on your travels, your stays in hotels, whatever. But just know that anytime these people want to, they can change the rules, like dynamic pricing. There used to be award charts, and you knew exactly what an award was going to cost. Now you have no damn idea what it's going to cost. If you want to fly on a peak day and you want to get an upgraded seat, good luck. Bring your wallet full of miles, because that's what it's going to cost you. So the airlines have issued a lot, and the hotels have issued a lot of this currency, too much of it. They've had too many benefits that allowed too many people to get too many benefits. You know, when United boards all their 1Ks before they start their general boarding, used to be three or four people. Now, oftentimes, it's 15 or 20 people. So I think they're trying to thin the ranks a little bit, and they're going to cut back on the things that they are providing and make it a little less attractive. So you, as a consumer, if you are loyal to one of these people, you need to take a look at your loyalty and say, is it still worth it to me to be loyal to these people, or should I be a free agent and be out on the market? That's what I am doing more and more often.
Well, I'll tell you, things that never stay the same, nope. Always changing, sometimes good, oftentimes not. By the way, how do you feel about the changes with Southwest? We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And if you'd like to chime in with your opinion as to whether you're going to be flying Southwest and how you feel about it, you can call us at 916-921-1530. We are the Travel Guys.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
If you've never been to New York City and you've always wanted to enjoy Broadway, here's your chance to do so, and do it with a Travel Guy. I will be hosting a trip to New York, to Broadway in the Bronx, April 24th through the 29th. That's 6 days if you're counting. 5 nights at the Marriott Marquis Hotel in Times Square. 2 Broadway shows, a night at Carnegie Hall, a day at Ellis Island and at the Statue of Liberty, a day in the Bronx. Lots and lots of fun things. A day behind Broadway to meet some of the people who put the shows on the stage. Tickets to 2 Broadway shows, 5 nights at the Marriott Marquis Hotel, departs on April the 24th. I have 2 seats available. If you're a single traveler or a traveler with someone, give us a call at Sports Leisure Vacations or check out the New York City Broadway in the Bronx tour at sportsleisure.com.
Wow, man. I don't know if I could spend that many days in a row with you, though. That's a hard one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and have to pay money for it besides.
But sincerely, though, you don't have to spend all your time with Mark. He will be to make sure everything is going well, but you won't have to put up with all of his bad jokes the whole time.
Absolutely. You're right. Listen, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Southwest Airlines thing. If you have an opinion, you can give us a shout at 916-921-1530, and we would be happy to hear your opinion. Not only is the bags fly free thing going away, but you're going to have to pay for a seat on Southwest. Tom, there were lots and lots and lots of people who would not fly Southwest unless they absolutely had to, because they didn't like the cattle car boarding process and all that stuff. So This isn't all bad for Southwest. I think there is a large number of people who probably will consider the airline who had never considered it before. And also, there is a hack around this baggage thing, as you might well imagine. If you are a top-tier Southwest person, if you are at the top of their frequent flyer stack, they call it A-List or A-List Preferred, you're going to get a free bag. If you purchase their business class fare, which isn't a different seat right now, it's the same seat as all the others, but after May the 28th, when the baggage fees go into effect, the business class fare will include 2 free bags. People with the Southwest credit card will get a bag for free. So if you regularly fly Southwest, the card carries a $99 fee. Full disclosure, we do not get any sort of a commission or anything if you buy the Southwest credit card like some bloggers do. However, I did put a link to it at travelguysradio.com in case you would like to have you want to get a Southwest credit card. Listen, if a bag, they haven't announced yet what it's going to cost, but let's assume they pick everybody else's price and it's $40 each way. that's $80. If you traveled Southwest twice a year, it would be to your benefit to have the credit card and pay them $99 for the credit card, even if you got no other benefits, just to be able to not have to pay that baggage charge. So there are some ways around this. If you were a fairly frequent Southwest flyer, obviously they're going to use this to pad their credit card numbers, but that's the way the system works these days. So $69 or $99 for a Southwest credit card, and that would turn out to be a good deal.
You know, I've had a Southwest credit card for quite some time. They had a special program some years back, it seems like now, where if you got the card, and this was for California only, if you got the card, you got a companion flies free for one full year. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people jumped on that. I mean, it was the best offer they ever had. And, of course, you know, people racking up huge credit card debt on those cards and paying them off. And, you know, this may be the first time that I can look at that card and say, you know what, maybe now it has some value because I can get at least one bag free on the plane. So.
Well, and what we talked about before, I mentioned airlines make their money now off of seat selection, baggage fees, and I forgot one major one here, and that is their branded credit cards. So Delta has a deal with American Express that makes them a truckload of money. How do we know this? Because when they report their financials every year, they have to tell us these things, and people who look at the markets and play stock of airlines. I will tell you that over the years, stock of airlines has been like the worst thing that you can possibly own until the last couple of years. And then the airlines have done very well, but they took a hit this week as soon as several of them announced that things are looking a little bit soft, as has been reported in other places. Consumers are cutting back their spending a little bit. And so when it comes to the world of travel, this is great news for me as a tour operator, because I've been fighting all of these folks who everybody wants to go everywhere, and they put an extra demand on key destinations where I need space. So if some of those people peel back, some of those hotels and bus companies and attractions and restaurants will be a lot happier to see me because they didn't need me before.
We have a caller that has a comment, a question in regards to our Southwest remarks. Ross, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Yeah, my question is, I'm thinking about going to China in December. My wife's not excited about going, but I wanted to see what you guys felt.
Well, she can't take Southwest Airlines. That's for one thing, for sure.
Let me comment on Southwest. I am surprised. There's billions of dollars being made in this bag thing. I never really liked Southwest because I always call it the cattle call. So to me, the trade-off is wonderful. I think their flights costs are competitive. If they're going to charge me for a bag, everybody else is, but don't put me in the cattle call. That's my comment.
See, he's one of the people, Tom, that we're talking about, who before this would not even consider Southwest unless he had to, but now, because he can get a reserved seat. Listen, with the China thing, that's a little off topic here, but let me just share with you. International, if I were going to a country, to a China, Hungary, any place that's on the bubble, so to speak, right now, I'd wait a month or so for this to shake out a little bit. The news is changing daily. Political things are, a lot of things are being said that the next day they're not what they were the day before. So I really would. China is a wonderful country to visit. The people there are spectacular, but you don't want to get caught up in a situation where you've made a reservation to go someplace and now these two countries are, you know, spitting at each other. So give it 30 days. I would say, I think, in as fast as things have moved so far, within a month, you'll probably have a much clearer view of whether or not you would like to go to, whether or not you would consider going to China at this point.
Okay. Anyway, no, I do use Southwest, but I use other airlines, but I've just never liked that arrangement. So,
let me ask you something. Are you a frequent flyer in any airline?
I am. I'm United.
Okay.
In fact, okay. My credit card is, what is it? Let me pull it up. So I think it says Platinum or something, Mileage Plus. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a guy that has a loyalty, but like an increasing number of people, it's like, well, you know, if this is cheaper or I can do this better, or the advantage with Southwest is they serve a lot of destinations nonstop from Sacramento that, you know, you have to go around your elbow to get to your, well, other body part. If you're flying, you know, United, you got to go to San Francisco and change to go to Eugene, whereas with Southwest, you can fly there once a day nonstop. Palm Springs, another example. There's a long list of them.
Oh, no, we use lots of airlines. We went to Hawaii a bunch of times last year. We like Hawaiian Air. You know, right now what I'm trying to figure out is we're going to be in the Southeast Asia trying to buy, I can't believe these ticket brokers. My God, they're like mosquitoes. You know, trying to sell us, because I only fly business class. And business class seats are all over the place. I mean, you can pay $5,000 or you can pay $10,000. So that's kind of my concern is right now business class seats are fairly competitive. So I just put my son, daughter-in-law, and two grandchildren on flights because they're flying differently. It was 5,300 business class United.
Well, business and first class have become a little bit more competitive because the airlines have decided that it's better to put somebody in them for 70% of what they'd like to have as opposed to have to give it to a frequent flyer for free. Be careful with consolidators and folks who are selling. It sounds like you know what you're doing when it comes to business class travel and business.
I'm not going to buy from them. I'm just going to refuse to.
Thank you so much for
a great job and what a great business, too. I love
all right. Thanks. Well, excellent. Thank you so much for the call and the nice compliment.
Joining us, a day away, is Christopher Elliott. Christopher, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. It's nice to be here again.
I don't want to get too deep into the politics of things here, but you change destinations pretty often. So you've been in a number of different places since the elections were held in the second week of November. Do you get any feel for how the rest of the planet is looking at us? What has the perception of our country changed? Is there anything as residents of the United States and we had to become visitors of other foreign lands? Is there anything that we need to know or anything that would make us a little smarter travelers? See where I'm kind of going with this?
I see where you're going with this. Yes. I was in Istanbul when the election happened, and I remember walking into an elevator with an Indian guy and his wife, and he said, "Oh, it looks like Trump has won." And then he looked at me and he looked at my son. We're obviously Americans. And what I got from him was just, "I am so sorry this is happening to you." And if there is a thread, a common thread in all the places that I've been, so I've been to Turkey, I've been to the Middle East, so Qatar and New Zealand and Australia and now Malaysia since the election. And that's the one thing is that people will tell you when they find out that you're American, that they understand it's not you. It's just the government that maybe you didn't even vote for the guy. And they understand that they're not holding you responsible. And that's really interesting because I remember growing up abroad that a lot of times we were held responsible when people didn't like our politics. They would say, "And it's all your fault because you're American." So I think that there's like a separation. That being said, I'd be very, very cautious about expressing your national identity while you're abroad. Don't go out of your way. I mean, leave the MAGA hat at home. Try not to dress too much like an American. Don't be loud because you may attract the wrong kind of attention. And I want all of my readers to come home alive, no matter how they voted. I want you all to come back from your trips.
Wow, great Good. Advice. You know, don't be loud. I got a problem. I'm loud all the time. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, but that's a different sort of loud. But you know what, Chris, you would give that advice on some level, almost regardless if you are an international traveler. You know, lots of people say, "Hey, don't go out of your way to call attention to yourself or to political events in your country or something like that because you don't know what the feelings are of the other people around you." So this is perhaps maybe a heightened alert on that level. Would that be an accurate description?
I think so. I think, well, you know, I mean, things are a little extra crazy right now in the world, and especially with, you know, it would be one thing if we were making controversial decisions that only affected us at home. But what's going on right now with the trade wars is that this is affecting everyone. So there are a lot of people outside the United States that are feeling the impacts of the tariffs. And so they're upset about that. And so you really want to approach any conversation you have, even whether it's a taxi driver or someone at your hotel or someone that you meet, a guide along the way. You want to just be very, very cautious and not, you know, express your opinion immediately. Let them do the talking. If they're comfortable, if they want to talk about politics, you know, the thing is that I've met Americans, especially in Australia, who the first thing they want to do is to complain about Trump. And I think people really don't care that much, too. Like the Australians that I met really were not that interested in talking about American politics. So it's like it's a little bit like, you know, the world does not revolve around us. And that's one thing that you start to realize when you leave the country is that our problems are, you know, we may be just very interesting to people in terms of all the crazy things that are happening politically. But ultimately, they care more about what's going on in their own country.
Wow. Incredibly, incredibly well said. Thank you for your wisdom there. All right. Before we let you go, we got to touch on one last subject here. Southwest Airlines rocked the world this week, at least the world of domestic travelers, when they announced that starting at the end of May, the one thing they said they would never do, the thing that defines them as a company, the free bags are going away. And of course, Southwest is making a lot of other changes in the coming months as they transition from a get on the plane and sit down airline to a get on the plane and sit in the seat you've been assigned, just like on any other carrier airline. Any thoughts on what has come down this week, how it may affect air travel or not at all?
No, I mean, I think if anyone who was observing the airline industry could see this one coming, they had already announced that they were going to do open seating. And now this. What happened, though, is that Southwest has essentially taken away all the things that made it unique and special and why people wanted to fly on Southwest over other airlines. And that was that it included the price of two checked bags in its airfares. Now, the thing that really bothers me about all this is that people have been calling it bags fly free. And that's something that Southwest had done and everyone else is repeating. And that is simply not true. So what Southwest did was it included the price of two checked bags in its fares. Now, if it was going to be completely honest, then Southwest would lower the cost of its fares so that it could that people would then be able to because essentially the cost would have been included in the cost of the airfare. It's not doing that, though. It's just continuing charging the same amount for its tickets. And then if you want to check a bag, you have to pay extra. So it's really, the way I see it, it's a money grab. And that's very unfortunate. People are going to pick up on that. They're not stupid. And I think that this really completely levels the playing field in terms of airlines. There's nothing that makes Southwest special or unique anymore. Now it's just whoever has the lowest fare. It's kind of a sad day for the airline industry, too, because I personally loved Southwest Airlines. I thought it was a great airline. Now it's just like all the others.
Chris, you have a new book out we alluded to at the beginning of this interview. And I will tell folks that a link to it can be found at travelguysradio.com. If you have an interest in purchasing it, give us the Reader's Digest version of your new publication.
Yes, it's the Unauthorized Travel Manual. It's the book that I really wanted to write 10 years ago. And instead, I wrote How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler. And the reason they couldn't write it is because of the censors at Disney or National Geographic that were publishing the book. Now I just get to do it all, to write whatever I want to. And I did. I actually wrote a very succinct book with 10 strategies for becoming a smarter traveler. And so these are things that I have learned over the years as a travel journalist. I've been doing this for more than 3 decades. And it's just something that that I needed to put out there because there's so much disinformation and people, you know, writing stories because they're getting paid to do it by a sponsor or an advertiser. And I just needed to clear the air. So these are 10 really great strategies that I've learned along the way. I'll give you a really good example. One of the things that people constantly do is when they're booking travel is they will always take the first price that's offered to them. People don't understand that, booking travel is essentially a negotiation and that you never want to take the first price. You want to shop around. People don't do that. So that's the very first thing that I say in my book is I explain how the pricing model works and how you can shop around and find a lower price for travel. And I think that this is going to be really helpful, especially this summer as people do their trips and try to maybe save a little bit with the economy feeling a little bit soft. If you want to save money on your next trip, this will be the book for you.
All right. I think, Tom, I think what we have to do now is get a copy of the book. And we're going next time we have Chris on, we'll do a book review.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we'll pick apart everything we can and we'll drag you through the mud and we'll let you know if it's really a good book or not.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
A link to Chris's new book can be found at travelguysradio.com. And thank you, my friend, for your time again from halfway around the world. Stay safe. Let us know if you have anything exciting, and otherwise we'll check back in with you in a month or so.
You bet. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Chris, some good things. Tom, online here, we asked folks if they wanted to call in and give an opinion. Most went online and left their opinions online. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 folks now have weighed in on the Southwest baggage thing. This is really interesting. It looks like 8 of them already fly Southwest, and they're not happy about the new policy. The other 3, like the gentleman who called in, are not Southwest flyers who said they would consider flying Southwest more often. The baggage fee doesn't bother them because they will be able to get a seat. And one lady said, even echoed what I said, she said, you know, I hear the people at Southwest are a lot nicer and a lot easier to get along with, which is really true. I don't know if that will stay that way as everything becomes the same. Also, Amtrak wants you to know they sent out a press release this week letting people know that baggage is free for passengers on Amtrak. After Southwest announced the end to their popular perk, you can bring your bags, 2 free bags to most passengers, on Amtrak. So if that bothers you, you can stay on the ground and not have to pay for bags.
Wow. Fascinating. Hey, thanks for your emails and the call. We are the Travel Guys, and who the heck knows what's going to be going on in the travel world when we get to next Saturday at the same time when the Travel Guys will return at 11 a.m. Mark.
In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.